morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Over the years on this program, Sheila, Nathan, and I have had the chance to talk to a lot of folks who make movies. We've talked to actors and writers and directors and producers. But last March, I spoke with the producer of a film who will likely be the only filmmaker I'll ever encounter who also happens to be a particle physicist. His name is Dr. David Kaplan. He's a professor of particle physics at Johns Hopkins University and the producer, along with Mark Levinson, of a fantastic documentary called Particle Fever. David is featured in the film, along with a cast of brilliant, dedicated scientists, many of whom are working to develop the Large Hadron Collider. The data that we've garnered by smashing particles together in this, the world's largest machine, has led to a lot of previously unknown or unknowable answers, and it's animated lots of new questions. David Kaplan joined me in Studio A last March. So this is a phenomenal movie. It's really just quite compelling in every way.
Thank you.
And you say at one point in the movie, because you're a major figure in the film itself, you say that we're in a fork in the road, that this is either a golden era, and you're talking at this point before the Hadron Collider is online. You say we're either in a golden era or in a moment that is quite stark, and that there's never really been a moment like this in history. What do you think about that?
Well, the whole reason I thought that this would be an amazing story is that we physicists were up at night a lot thinking not just about equations and detailed properties of whatever theory we're thinking of, but also just about the field itself. It took 30 years to build this incredible machine, partly because of engineering difficulties, but partly for political reasons and sociological reasons. There's not a big constituency out there for particle physics, for fundamental research that doesn't build bigger weapons or make people rich. So we had a feeling, or at least it was nervousness within the community, that if this machine didn't show us that we were on the right path, that the big discoveries were coming, that something might happen. The world may decide to just stop doing fundamental research. There are examples of that in the past. And so I think part of it was the sociological context within we're all living, which is, are people going to support fundamental physics? As well as a question as to whether we are on the right track. Are the new, deeper underlying theories going to reveal themselves at this machine or not? Do we not have access to that information? That's a decision nature has to make.
The Large Hadron Collider, you say in the movie, is at its core a fundamental experiment. You're going to smash things together, these protons, right?
Yes.
Particles. Yeah. And you're going to try to understand the stuff that results from the smashing thereof. There are four different experiments going on at four different points inside this collider,
right,
where you're collecting data. Describe for us what the thing looks like. You know, where is it? How big is it?
Sure. There's a tunnel. It's 16 and a half miles around. It's a ring underneath France and Switzerland. It's right at the border near Geneva. And within the tunnel are superconducting magnets, which allow protons, parts of atoms, to be propelled near the speed of light in both directions. And then the beams cross. You're not supposed to cross the beams, but we cross the beams at four different points around which there are these massive detectors to catch what comes out of the collision. And the purpose for colliding particles is actually we're not looking inside the particles. We're not trying to break them apart. When you push things to extremely high energies, they act like waves. And the particles, this is due to quantum mechanics, which I will not explain on your show, but the waves become very high frequency, and you can start to probe things that are very tiny. But we're not probing the inside of the particles. We're actually probing the vacuum of space itself. So when you cause a collision to happen at very high energies, that energy goes into the vacuum of space, and then what gets reflected out teaches us what space-time is made of. And that is really where we are in terms of fundamental research. What is space-time? What are the properties of this universe as a whole? And that gives us an idea of what the universe looked like just after the Big Bang and how it was all created since then.
The fact that it is located in Europe, How has that affected or has it affected in any way the kind of research that's being done? There are more than 10,000 people working on this project from all over the world. And we had a chance to have it here.
In the 90s, they were building, in fact, something three times the size in Texas, but they canceled the project.
As a matter of fact, let's take a listen from the movie. You tell us in the film that, as you say, there was a project to build an even larger supercollider in Texas. It was canceled in 1993. Here's a couple of clips that you feature. We'll first hear former U.S. Representative Sherwood Bollert. He's a Republican from upstate New York. That'll be followed by former U.S. Representative Joel Heffley. He's a Republican from Colorado. They're speaking in opposition to the project.
I doubt anyone believes that the most pressing issues facing the nation include an insufficient understanding of the origins of the universe.
And finally, he's saying, well, if we don't do it, the Europeans will do it. Let them do it. We'll steal their technology like they steal our technology.
So a lot of folks would hear that and say that's a little short-sighted.
Well, let me first start by saying this really wasn't a Republican versus Democrat situation. There were Republicans that supported it, there were Democrats that supported it, and there were both Republicans and Democrats who were opposed to it. In fact, it was in Texas, so as you can imagine, people from the South strongly supported it, and people from the North and the West strongly opposed it. But the problem was that, like I said, we really don't have a constituency for fundamental research. There are plenty of constituencies and interest groups for many other things. So it's hard to defend this. And the project is expensive for a singular thing, but spread it over many years and for the benefits of society, it really is not. It's an investment in real deep fundamental research and also an investment in the long-term future.
Yeah, in the movie you talk about when people ask you why should we do this, you say there's two answers, one that you tell people and the other is the truth.
Yes.
So what are those two answers?
Well, the first one is that we are trying to reproduce the conditions at the beginning of the universe. That gets people excited or scares people. But and that is true in a sense, but what we're really trying to do is understand the basic rules. Is there a simple set of equations that describe all the fundamental interactions of everything? And from that, one could hope to extract many more possible things that could be done and many explanations for why we're here. But it's from a very pure place that we do this research. It's simply not to invent things. It's to discover things. And that, we think, is an important part of humanity and the you know, our endeavors, but it doesn't always get supported the way we'd like.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We're listening to a conversation I had last spring with Dr. David Kaplan. He's a particle physicist from Johns Hopkins University and the producer of a documentary about the Large Hadron Collider called Particle Fever. In the movie, your mentor, a gentleman with whom you studied at Stanford,
Savas
Dimopoulos, gives a very eloquent summation of why you all in science do what you do.
The thing that differentiates scientists is purely an artistic ability to discern what is a good idea, what is a beautiful idea, what is worth spending time on, and most importantly, what is a problem that is sufficiently interesting, yet sufficiently difficult, that it hasn't yet been solved, but the time for solving it has come now.
And one of the issues that you lay out as a dimension of the basic research here is this notion of supersymmetry, which is sort of one approach to physics, and another, which you described as multiverse. Can you give us a quick primer on those two? And I know that's a horrible thing to ask a scientist to do in a short period of time.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is, of course, you want to say the latest and greatest thing in physics, but most of the listeners probably aren't, you know, prepared with quantum mechanics. But in broad strokes, what's going on at the Large Hadron Collider is we are trying to understand if there is a deeper symmetry among all particles all forces that connect them all and in some sense make the deepest theory very uniform as we get to the beginning of the universe. The multiverse is a concept, it's a framework, it's not even a complete theory, but it's an idea that our universe is one of many, and the many means that in all of those other universes, or at least parts of the universe, the laws of physics are different. And so when you measure the laws of physics, the fundamental rules here, you can ask, is there a deeper reason for those things to exist? And it may be that it's random, that what we measure here, while we think we're getting deep concepts, are actually just some random things that occur in this part of the universe, but not in others. And the multiverse then suggests that there are some things which are not hints, they're red herrings. And so we're trying to figure out if this next stage, the discovery of the so-called God particle or the Higgs boson, is an indicator of a deeper structure to how the universe works, or is it simply a random thing that was thrown at us because of what part of the multiverse we live in?
Peter Higgs, the person after whom the Higgs boson particle is named, as you say, it's referred to in the lay community as the God particle, although I know that physicists don't like calling it that. He's in the movie. He's attends a press conference in which data from the Large Hadron Collider is discussed and announced. It's a very poignant scene in the movie. I'm crying my eyes out watching this yesterday, thinking to myself, I'm crying at a movie about physics. What's going on here? And it's really quite something. But this notion of the God particle, if you'll forgive my use of that term, how does this work, in fact, inform our understanding and our speculation about the existence of a divine being?
It doesn't. That nickname was created to sell popular books on physics back in the 80s by a physicist named Leon Lederman. So it was advertising more than anything else. You can try to push the analogy because the Higgs particle is a vibration or an excitation evidence for us for something called a Higgs field, which permeates all of space. And it is the best description as to why certain particles have inertia, like the electron, and therefore why atoms can exist. You need to make sure particles can move slow enough that they can get trapped with each other. So all of matter is formed because things like the Higgs field turned on in the early universe, and it exists today. So in that sense, you can say it's responsible for creation as we know it, and then you can push the nickname.
David Kaplan. He and Mark Levinson produced Particle Fever. We spoke last March. You can find Particle Fever on Netflix, and you can find links to more information about the film on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. Marilyn Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. The program is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. Our coffee is provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. They're on the web at zekescoffee.com. We'd love to hear your reaction to anything you've heard on our show. You can leave a comment or make a suggestion about an interview you'd like to hear at wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, Sheila has a discussion about the latest research into autism. Producer Jamila Kay will share an installment in her series Senior Stories, and we'll revisit a conversation with NPR correspondent Margot Adler, who died of cancer last month. I'm Tom Hall. For Sheila, Nathan, and the entire Marilyn Morning team, thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.